Dear Cheap Astronomy, how exactly does Einstein's physics break down in a black hole? The idea that a particular branch of physics breaks down in a particular environment is arguably just poor use of language. At best, any physics formula can only model how the real world works. If that physics formula provides predictions that are observed with high accuracy in the real world, then it's considered a very successful physics formula. So, for example, Newton's physics provides some fairly successful formulas that operate to a fairly high level of accuracy on Earth, even in fast-moving aircraft. But Einstein's physics is considered to offer even more successful formulas, which produce accurate measurements over a wider range of environments, such as in very fast-moving spacecraft or in strong gravity. For example, early experiments seeking to confirm Einstein's physics found that light passing nearby the Sun is visibly bent in a way that was predicted by Einstein, but not by Newton. But no one says there is a particular point at which Newton's physics breaks down. It just steadily becomes less and less accurate when it's applied in situations where things are moving at extreme speeds or are affected by extreme gravity. Indeed, the suggestion that anyone's physics breaks down in a black hole is kind of a moot point, since you can't measure anything that happens beyond a black hole's event horizon. So you don't have access to any data that would allow you to test whether your physics formula remains accurate or not. In any case, Einstein's physics does work in a black hole, at least on a theoretical basis, and up to a point. General relativity is geometrical in nature, describing how space-time curves in the presence of mass-energy densities. And in the presence of the humongous mass-energy density of a black hole, space-time curves a lot. But there's black holes, and there's black holes. The smallest known black hole is about 4 solar masses and about 24 kilometers in diameter. The biggest known black hole is about 20 billion solar masses and about 68 billion kilometers in diameter, a diameter that is 15 times greater than the diameter of Neptune's orbit around the Sun. So, given how we calculate volume, where spatial dimensions get cubed, it turns out that the net density of a supermassive black hole is much lower than a stellar mass black hole. Indeed, the net density of most supermassive black holes is lower than water. This means that space-time tightens down very quickly in a stellar black hole, but undergoes much gentler constriction inside a supermassive black hole. Hence, various science communicators have described how you could cross an event horizon of a supermassive black hole before getting spaghettified. What really bothers everyone about black holes and general relativity is that the geometry predicts that space-time curvature should constrict right down to a single point, a singularity at the black hole's center. This means that any mass or matter at that point exists in a state of infinite density, although really that's just a mathematical quirk brought about by trying to divide something by zero. If you have a central point with zero volume, and that central point contains mass and matter, then the traditional calculation of density, mass divided by volume, will give you infinity. But infinity isn't a number. It's just a symbol representing never-endingness. So if that's the answer your calculation is delivering, it generally just means your calculation logic is wrong. So maybe we should reconsider that matter is really just empty space constrained by forces acting between point-like particles that have no actual volume themselves. So once you do compress matter right down to its fundamentals, perhaps it really can occupy zero volume. Who knows? And given that everything that happens inside a black hole happens behind an event horizon, it's fair to say that no one will ever really know.